across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hopefully I can play now the report I've made, actually, as a survey made by YouGov for Lloyds Bank, actually, so that more than two-fifths avoid discussion about money, and a quarter have even lied to family and friends about the personal finances. So last Friday, I spoke to Professor Tanya Byron. She's a psychologist, and Catherine Keogh from Lloyds Bank. Discussing a new research that show many Brits avoid discussion about money. Money is a bigger taboo than religion and politics, according to that research. Actually, a quite significant number have even lied to family and friends about their personal finances. So both of my guests will provide insight as well as tips on how best to broach the subject of money. I started by asking them to present themselves.
I'm Catherine Kehoe and I'm the Managing Director for Group Brands and Marketing at Lloyds Banking Group.
My name is Professor Tanya Byron. I'm a consultant clinical psychologist and I'm also patron of the charity Relate.
Catherine, why is it such a taboo subject?
Money in today's society is a taboo subject because people just feel embarrassed. The number one driver for why people won't have that conversation is a general sense of embarrassment. And that is stopping people having healthy relationships with their loved ones. When they get married, not having a conversation about money is really important for your life together. When you are leaving home, when you're talking to your parents about getting on the housing ladder, if, you know, two-thirds of people are trying to think about getting on the housing ladder, but only one in three are having that conversation with their parents. I mean, one stat really surprised us was nearly two-thirds of people talk about what they would do if they won the lottery, but only one in three actually talk about having a will. And people are avoiding it, people are ashamed about it, and that's something that we just want to sort of break this taboo and destigmatise conversations about money.
I guess it's not very romantic, is it, to talk about money and things like prenups before you're getting married, so maybe that's what's holding people back.
But it is important, and it might not be about prenups, it might just be understanding your attitude to money. So, you know, I personally, I'm a spender, my husband is a saver, and that causes great issues in a relationship and the dynamics about the way I want to go on holiday, I want to spend money on clothes, and he's thinking about saving for the future and for later life. So those conversations are really important that you understand so you can prevent any conflicts later down the road.
And tricky question for you, why would someone choose to lie about their financial situation?
In the survey that we're using for this campaign, what we found is that over a fifth of people lie or have lied to their partner about money. And when you dig into that, what you find is it's very much related to feelings of guilt and embarrassment and shame. I mean, those were significant emotions that were talked about. So it is linked to self-esteem, self-efficacy. It's linked to how you perceive yourself in a relationship. Money can be used for as a means of control in terms of, you know, people use it for power, for coercion. So these are issues that also you sit that alongside, particularly people who might be struggling with money, struggling to earn money, struggling with other aspects of financial pressure or stress. It's just a complete sort of hornet's nest for couples and for families. The other thing that we find is that young people that we spoke to are particularly stressed about getting on the property ladder, really don't know how to talk about it, don't want to talk about it. So the other thing about the campaign that I think has been really helpful and has been used to inform the M-word courses that we're running jointly with Lloyds Bank is that we're looking at different key transitional points in life. So, you know, when you're moving in together with a partner, we're looking at when kids leave home, we're looking at things like Christmas, which is a huge financial time for families, and offering advice and courses to help people plan ahead, and also not just planning, but thinking about how you talk. So communication, understanding, conflict resolution. These are the kinds of issues that actually, if we can open up the conversation, can make a significant difference to people in their relationships.
Also, Professor, what impact can lying about your finances to... Oops, here we go. What's wrong? What's wrong?
I'm Catherine Kehoe.
Oops, here we go. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I will definitely do something with that. I'm so sorry. The play just stopped the interview I've made with the girls on Friday. I will have a look at that. Probably a technical issue there. So I'll play a track for you and then I will try to play the end for you. Just bear with me.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Okay, let's try again. So apologize in advance as, you know, I can't see actually where my report is. So it might be in the middle of a sentence. But anyway, I'll try. Yes, it's working.
On you, what is the consequences? Well, lies in a relationship can be really corrosive, as we all know. And also when you're lying about something, particularly, let's say, money issues, or, you know, you've spent part of the savings and your partner doesn't know, or whatever that is, or lying about how much you earn because you feel embarrassed that you led your partner to believe you earned more and you don't earn. I mean, it could be for a variety of reasons. The problem is then you have to keep the lie going. And often what then happens is that it's almost like standing in a big hole and just digging yourself in deeper and deeper. The more we lie, the more ashamed we are, the more defensive we get, the more that then causes problems in the relationship. That may not be clearly about money. It just causes a dynamic shift. It has an impact on other aspects of the relationship, on other forms of communication. And so the whole thing then just becomes a complete sort of self-feeding cycle. That's when we can see people sliding into significant issues relating to conflict in relationships, but also issues with anxiety, with depression. And so it just, from something quite small that can be thought about and talked about honestly and openly with understanding and empathy and support, because, you know, we can all make mistakes, we can all say things that aren't entirely true at a time if we're trying to impress someone or whatever the issue is, it can become such a big issue that tragically we then see relationships and families breaking apart.
And Catherine, what is being done to help actually people like that?
We're working with Relate to create a series of courses called the M-Word courses. And that's going to be a lot of content, guidance, tips, tools and support to help people have these conversations and make that a positive behavioural change in their lives.
And finally, what other advice would you give people?
So I have written with Lloyd, so in my role as the patron of Relate, 6 top tips on how would you even have this conversation. So we're not even getting into the kind of bigger, darker issues of relationship breakdown. We're just talking about how do you talk about something that we now understand is a bigger taboo than talking about sex, religion or politics. So the first thing is prepare your thinking, understand things. You know, if you're going to have a difficult conversation with your partner, maybe you want to talk to a trusted friend or even somebody, you know, in the financial part of your life who can just help you go through what might feel like a complete minefield. You might be confused, overwhelmed. So you just prepare yourself and you think really, really carefully. What is it I'm saying? What do I want to say? How do I want to say it? You know, what are the issues? And how do I want to present them in a way that my partner can hear them? It's also then about how do we listen. You know, it's about listening and understanding. It's about understanding why the problem has occurred, not just going straight to the problem. Solution is part of problem resolution, but before you get there, you have to have a joint understanding, a compassion and an empathy together. It's about communication, and we often say a very simple tip is don't talk somewhere where you're going to end up screaming at each other. Go somewhere, go and have a cup of tea together, go out and, you know, have a meal. Just try and find a place where it's neutral, but you're also more likely to try and keep it kind of cordial and amicable and thoughtful. How do you resolve conflict? That's another thing that we help people think about. What do you do when things start to become heated? How do you think about this in the broader context of relationships? And finally then, when we do get to the solution, make a plan together. Make sure that everybody feels heard and listened to. Be prepared to negotiate and compromise. If it gets heated, take some time out and come back to it. But see this as a way that you're strengthening your relationship. And it's not about scoring points, it's about working together as a team. And that in itself will make your relationship stronger in the end.
A big thank you to Professor Tanya Byron, a psychologist and relayed patron. Also Catherine Keogh, working at Lloyds Bank. Thank you very much to join me today on Cambridge 105 Radio.